Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians. If you have trouble, the way you teach Awana kids is you learn the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you find out what they did, the book of Acts. The next comes Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and then they get lost. So you tell them to go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You go eat popcorn, if that helps you do that. In the book of Philippians, we've been looking and studying. We've been observing this book in which Paul talks about joy and rejoicing and what that means. We go, and today is kind of perusal through the book of Philippians as we look at restoring joy through encouragement. We looked, first of all, the first step you need to take in order to restore joy in your life is repentance. Repentance, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to come before Him and repent of your sin and ask Him to forgive you of all your sin. Put your full trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. For it is Jesus Christ who saves us when we put our trust in Him, because He died to take the penalty that you deserve. Repentance is required for salvation. Along with that, repentance is required for fellowship. When you are in trouble at home, the other person is angry at you. You don't go around being all nice to them, except you're trying to get on their good side. What they really want from you is an "I'm sorry." That doesn't mean they're kicking you out of the house because you did something to make them angry, but you don't have a good fellowship. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God, and many times we break that fellowship with Him when we disobey Him. And so we have to restore that fellowship. He doesn't kick us out of heaven. He doesn't revoke His promise. But we do need to make things right with Him and restore that relationship. So repentance is required for that. Well, repentance is a starting place for restoring joy in your life. After that, not only is restoring joy through repentance, it's through endurance. Through sticking to it. It's easy for us when we don't like what's going on. We don't like what somebody says, whether it's about us or something else. We don't like a decision that somebody else made, whether it affects us or not. We don't like how somebody handled the situation, particularly if it has to do with us. And so we get angry. We complain. We mock. We do all kinds of things because we don't like what they said or how they said it. We don't like what they did or how they did it. We end up in sin, really, and we need repentance. But along with that, when hard things happen, we need to endure it. Sometimes it's decisions others make. Sometimes decisions that we make. Sometimes it's things that are happening in the world and things are tough. And what do? We lose our joy and become discouraged and despondent. Instead of saying, "Wait a minute, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Remember that? Philippians 4:13? Today we're going to look at restoring joy through encouragement. Encouragement. Encouragement is something that restores joy. You know this one very well, don't you? You like when somebody puts their arm around you and says things are going to be okay. You don't like when someone comes up to you and says, you did an excellent job. You like that, don't you? That brings joy to your heart. Well, that's something we all probably need to really work on, is the encouragement part. We're all very good at the complaining part, but not the encouraging part. We're very quick when we're running through the register or we're on the phone. I was on the phone yesterday with Miss Computer. And Miss Computer asks you questions. And you know what you want. And if you tell Miss Computer, she doesn't care what you have to say. You get the response. You can either respond yes, no, continue, or what are you talking about? Well, not quite the last one, but. And so I'm on the phone with Miss Computer, and my joy was gone. I wanted a simple task to be done, and I just wanted to ask Miss Computer, could you do this real quick and have her do it? But instead, we have to go through a long process and endure that. If it had been somebody else on the other end, and we went through the same long process, I might have lost my joy also. I wouldn't have yelled at them, but I wouldn't have ended the phone call necessarily with, I really appreciate your help. You did a wonderful job. Isn't that what you do in the store and you can't find something? What's the matter with these people? You get to the register. Don't you ever feel bad for the person at the register? Do you know the only thing they do is check your stuff and take your money? They're not in charge of prices. They're not in charge of making things sure stocked. They're not in charge of making sure the floor is clean. But do you know who gets all the complaints? The poor person at the register. We're better at complaining to them than we are saying, hey, thank you very much. You know, I don't know if you noticed this, but out here in the foyer are some thank you cards, little business cards. And I used that. I went to Walmart, and I'm coming out of Walmart, and there's the guy that, he wasn't sitting there when I went in, but when I came out, he was standing right there to greet me. And so I said, here you go. As I left, handed him the thank you card. He acknowledged me. And he saw that and read the back. And that guy was, because I just kept on walking, I could hear him. He was just tickled pink that somebody gave him a thank you. It's not usually what they get, I'm sure. Encouragement makes a big difference. Well, how can we encourage somebody? There's a good question. We can bring encouraging words, which encouraging words bring joy. Encouraging words bring joy. Here's some wise words of encouragement. We're going to see some examples in Philippians, but first I'm going to take you to Proverbs. You can write these down. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Sometimes an encouraging word is a silent word. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Good words, encouraging words, truthful words. Here in the book of Philippians, we're going to look at some illustrations of encouraging words. We find them here. In Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Paul is the one who gives the encouraging words. He says here, starting in verse 3, I thank God upon remembrance of you. Now, there's two things right there, isn't it? I thank God for you. That's encouraging to hear somebody to thank God for you. Along with that, upon every remembrance of you. Aren't you encouraged to know that you've been remembered? Here specifically in prayer. Always in every prayer in mind, making request for you with all joy. He's making requests for them with joy. It's always encouraging to know somebody's praying for you. Somebody cares. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my chains, remember he's locked up, and in the defense and confirmations of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all my affection of Christ Jesus. Here, he expresses the value of them. I've longed for you. I've prayed for you. I thank God for you. I'm confident, even, he says. Confidence about them, but his confidence is in God. He's confident of God who began a good work in them, which is the work of the gospel, that he will complete it. He knows their sincerity of faith. And because of their sincerity of faith, if you've been reading in your scripture reading, if you've been following along with the scripture reading in the bulletin, you found in Romans chapter 8, those who God foreknew, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called, and those he called, he glorified. That is, in other words, all those whom God has called to salvation and have received that gift are going to heaven, flat out. They are glorified. They will be glorified. Here he says the same thing in different words. The gospel that's worked in your heart because of your sincere faith, you're going to heaven. I'm confident in God about you. Here we see he expresses the value of them. He also expresses love for them in Philippians chapter 4. You can turn there a couple pages. He says simply in verse 1, therefore my beloved, now, you might think of that as a term you might express to your wife. It means loved one. Now, often, Paul or even the others use that, beloved brethren. Think about what that means. It means he has a love for them. Isn't that encouraging to hear that somebody has a love for you? Sometimes somebody will tell you they love you. And you know that they are talking about a brotherly love. If you say it to your wife, you better not mean just a brotherly love. You better mean that you are completely in love with them. But we need to have that love that's commanded. And not only is it commanded, but as we express that love. He says, therefore, my beloved, and even says, longed for brethren. You remember when you got those notes from that one that you loved, because they were either on vacation, maybe you were in the military at the time, whatever the case may have been, maybe there's a long-distance relationship, and you got and you read that love letter, and you said to yourself, boy, I sure wish I was there. Not just because you're in trouble at home or anything, but because that's where that person was. Men, you know what that is. You've been at work. It's been a long day. And you say to yourself, boy, I can't wait to get home to see my wife. That you don't follow it up with supper. I understand that. But you're excited to see your wife. To be with her. He longs for them. See what he says here? My joy and crown. Tells the Thessalonians, you are our joy and our crown. They were something special to him. He expressed his love towards them. He also expressed a positive outlook for them. Sometimes we can be discouraged, or somebody can be discouraged, and they need encouragement for the future. Back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And if you go back a page, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, you read this. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write you the same thing is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He talks about presently, what they're supposed to do right now. He says, rejoice in the Lord. It says in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He wants them right now to have a joyful and optimistic outlook. He wants them right now where they're at to rejoice. They had things to not rejoice for. They were concerned about Paul. Paul was in prison. Paul writes here, he says, I don't know, this could end up in death. Fairly confident I'll see you again, but there's a real possibility that I will die here in prison. We have a dear sister, Bonnie Snipes. The inevitable is quite clear. Doesn't mean God can't work in her heart, in her life, I mean her body, and heal her. But as the normal course of action is, she will be at home soon. Boy, it just breaks your heart, doesn't it? To know that, in this case, very well, she won't be with us. Now you know what they felt. Here's our beloved Paul. He's in prison. And when you're in prison in Rome, and for doing not what's wrong, but for what that wasn't appreciated, death is quite the possibility, maybe even probability. He's gone through 2 trials, made an appeal to Caesar. Paul's going to be gone. Rejoice, he says. The here and now, rejoice. Don't be sad for me. The situations that the Christians were feeling, not quite this time, but very soon, great persecution. Here, Paul says, rejoice. Paul encourages them. Rejoice. Have a positive outlook. Be joyful. And you go down a little further to verse 20 of chapter 3. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That eagerly wait, what does that bring? Joy, doesn't it? I've got a little girl that just can't hardly stay in her shoes because she's so excited about Christmas. She is taking things around the house and wrapping them up because Christmas is coming. She's just so excited. And yesterday or day before, she opened one of those presents up. It was the Bible, the Keys for Kids. There's a few out here. It's even fun for adults, by the way. The Keys for Kids devotional out here, she had taken ours and wrapped it up. Because she was so excited about Christmas. And so she had admitted that that's what she had done, is wrap that up. That's why we couldn't find it anywhere. She has done those things because she's just eagerly awaiting that wonderful day. The other day, a couple of Saturdays ago, we woke up. And I'm in the kitchen kind of, thinking about what to make for breakfast, and she wakes up and comes in, gives me a hug, and she says, is it Christmas? I said, no, not yet. She had a while to wait. She's eager. It brings her joy. He says here in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. from which we eagerly wait for our Savior. That brings joy for the future. He says, be joyful now in the present circumstances. He says, be joyful of the future, of what's going to happen not long from now. Do you see that encouraging words bring joy? We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, about the coming of the Lord and how that in verse 18 we are to comfort one another because of those words. Encouraging words bring great joy. Encouraging words, though, begin with encouraging thoughts. We have to change our thought process. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. For and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, the things, what should I think about? What kinds of things would bring joy to my heart? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, whatever things are of virtue, what if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. I was thinking the other day as I was driving along in the car. You know, we can both watch the same preacher on TV, and this is how it goes. I'm going to pick one, Dr. Billy Graham. You know, it's not on TV anymore, but I think one that we're very most familiar with. And you'll watch it, and you'll say, wow, that was a fantastic message. He shared the gospel, and look at the response that we had. And then I will sit there, because now I'm going to, for the purpose of being mean, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to tell you, you know what? He really didn't do a very good job in this illustration. Did you notice his hand motions? Do you know that Billy Graham has done more to bring Catholics and evangelicals together than any other popular speaker? And they have nothing in common? Do you see how that his message was of salvation, but then what? Go to whatever church you want? Well, I'll go to the Mormon church. Do you see how ridiculous that is? Do you see what I just did? I hope I didn't just blow apart your admiration for a man who shared the gospel tremendously and by whom, well, I would guess, thousands were saved. And as Paul writes, for whatever purpose or reason the gospel is preached, I will glorify God. I will rejoice. But you do the same thing, don't you? Could be an event here at church. It could be something going on at work. Could be something that happens at home. Something that other people who have encouraging thoughts, thinking of things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and praiseworthy, and say, wow, that was fantastic. And you, who are not meditating on those things, say, wow, what a crummy job they did. Or what a lousy person you are. Or what a horrible job this is. What's wrong with the leadership? We're pretty good at it, aren't we? Because we do it about our nation all the time. Do you see here how sometimes we destroy our own joy? We're not encouraging. Philippians chapter 1, back in Philippians. This one I know was correct. Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1 is where we see that Paul is speaking here, giving encouraging words, what he's praying for them so they will have the right kind of thoughts. Verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. You see those there? Our encouraging words begin with encouraging thoughts. If you are going to think optimistically, you're going to speak optimistically about yourself or others and about God. But, do not think that encouraging words ignore correction. In Philippians 4:2, he says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. There is struggle there, and he rebukes them. We can have joyful and encouraging hearts and still rebuke. So do not come into this thinking, well, the only thing I can say is good things. That's not true. We sometimes need to speak the truth in love, but as Peter writes, was seasoned with salt, done with grace. Finally here, we see encouraging works brings joy. We see the helping hands encourage others. When Paul writes here, he's thanking them for their hands. And he says in chapter 2, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. The things that you do, do so not with yourself in mind, but others in mind. Along with that, we can look, and he says in verse 25, yet I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. The encouragement was to Paul by sending Epaphroditus to Paul. He was encouraged by that work. He hopes to encourage them by sending him back to them. In verse chapter 4, in verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care but lacked opportunity. Again, their helping hands to Paul was a blessing. But Paul, in turn, we see from the scriptures that helping hands, not only are helping hands for encouraging others, when we encourage other people, guess what? We're encouraged ourselves, aren't we? If Paul found it a joy to be able to send Epaphroditus back to them, so that way they wouldn't worry. Oh, he was going to miss him, but he wanted to see them to be able to rejoice that way. This morning, you see that we can restore joy in our life if we are encouraging. When we receive it, of course, but when we give it as well. By our words, the things that we say, sometimes the things we don't say, by the things that we say, encouraging others, expressing the value, love, and even a positive outlook for them and of what God is doing. It begins with the things that we think. Train yourself. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, renewing the mind is how you be transformed. With what? With God's word. And we also see that that does not ignore correction when it's required. Encouragement also comes by the things we do. When those gifts were handed out at the ladies' tea, I hope you felt encouraged by that. When other people help you do something, or you help others, you find it's encouraging. It's joyful. We as believers need to be men and women of joy. Doesn't mean we're always happy. But we still have that spirit of joy in us because we make sure our relationship is right with God. because we're willing to go through the hard times, rejoicing, knowing who's in charge, and knowing that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. And we know that our words are encouraging to others. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Father,